For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to be. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
This is our fight now, because you messed it up so badly that you left it to the kids, and it's our job, and you can't try to take that back from us.
Yeah.
That was Emma Gonzalez, the face of the March for Our Lives, coming out of Parkland. And that's the it's a classic communist angle to take the kids or take the victim group and attribute wisdom to it. So a victim is a victim and they deserve justice. Absolutely no question about it. Whatever, I'm not saying in this case, I don't know who that chick is. I know who they tell us she is, but whatever. So I don't know what's behind her thinking. I don't know if she's, you know, I think she's being told what to say or highly scripted or managed or whatever. I don't think it's as authentic as it seems. But this idea that out of the mouths of babes, this wisdom, it was an intentional propaganda angle that George Lakoff, who my producer Binkley here, who's does a lot of this research on the propaganda and what's happening behind the scenes in these movements, pointed out. So, Binkley, I would like a tweet, and then I'm going to go get to some more calls. 800-WSB-TALK. My Twitter is at Monica Perez Show.
We have a tweet from David who tweets, register more young idealistic voters and promote more gun restrictions at the same time. What could possibly go wrong?
That's the thing. So here's the problem that I have with the left, what's these movements that are coming out from the left, is they act like they worship democracy. But what they are demonstrating the danger of what of democracy and why it really ultimately you might think it cannot possibly work, because, and even I think Plato nailed this, he's like, you'll just get this constant iteration towards mediocrity. You're always going to get this middle of the road wishy-washy thing. I think they're kind of taking a different tack this time. But the fact that what they're actually trying to do is rack up numbers and manipulate people, the less savvy you are, the better, because in their heart of hearts, the people behind this think that they know best. And they really want to be the technocrats, the dictators. And what do they need? They need democracy, not only because that's the system that we have and that's their way to get power, but because they know it keeps the true resistance at bay. Because underneath it all, we all kind of consent to democracy. So if we really believe that the majority of the people who have the vote are voting for this stuff, we keep ourselves from real revolution. Unlike if you had a king who was ordering these, the people behind these movements are like the nobility, you know. If you saw them for what they were, you might rise up and take them out. But you think it's the person across the street. So you feel like there's some justice in it. And it keeps you from responding with that self-righteous indignation that you would have if you just recognized it as a steal of an attack on your rights by the people who want more power at your expense. And that leads me to talk to Will in Atlanta. Will, you are on with Monica. Hi.
Hey, first time calling. I appreciate you taking my call. And what you're saying is so true. What if you read Thomas Jefferson, who clearly was a prophet, our founder, as Americans, tens of thousands of Christs were impaled. Crucifixion is Latin for impalement. Tens of thousands were impaled for only one reason, for the second conviction for sedition, to deny that Caesar was God. So these people had centuries to build the Roman Empire that was broken when Christ resurrected, and then they had to switch it to church and make it this empire that still enslaved Latin America. I was down there in the army back in the early 70s, and it's all slums and brothels, priest molested. That's what they want up here. They want us all to be slaves. And they worked together with Gog and Babylon. I married into it. I'm from D.C. I got relatives in the FBI. They're all Roman Catholics. My mother's family was Roman Catholic.
So wait, you got to bring it back to the topic. I feel like you have...
That's who's staging these false flags.
Oh, you're saying that Vatican is behind it?
Well, Rothschild's check to his cousin, Karl Marx, is at the British Museum. All right, we know that they created godless Marxism and promulgated it through the synagogue of Satan, who says that we Gentiles are subhuman animals, goyim, a mindless herd of cattle. Their job is to lie, to cheat, rob, and slave and kill with impunity because they are gods chosen by God to rule the world. That's what the rabbis say, and 90% to 95% of...
And the Vatican is part and parcel of this. I'm asking
God,
you.
It's the beast. It's the beast of Gog and Babylon. If you look at Ezekiel 38:11, it says Gog attacks a country of unwalled villages.
I gotta say, I am not prepared for this discussion because I'm not familiar with that stuff.
It's a conflict is between God and Satan. Hollywood Babylon is satanic. Emma is the cousin of David.
Okay,
Paul.
No, I can't get into it right now because I want, if you have a comment, I thought you were going to comment on people removing our rights.
It's the same people. It's the same people that crucified Christ want to crucify America. They want to enslave us, and they have to disarm us. Feinstein, Schumer, Bloomberg, and Boxer.
This is where my mom is like, you're getting too deep for me. I think what you're talking about, I do believe there is a movement in the world towards world government, which I now am calling the World Corporation. There are many different theories about who's at the top of that. And, you know, people go occult. You can say it's a good versus evil. People say it's the Queen of England, aliens, Zionists, the Vatican, the Illuminati. I understand the competing theories. I never really dig into them because I think what I thought was your original point is the one that we can all agree on, which is there is a concerted effort to diminish our rights, to take our rights away. And that the purpose of that is not to save the children. It's not benevolence. The purpose of it is to make sure that this hierarchy, which is in place, and it doesn't necessarily have to be any one group at the top there, this hierarchy, this scaffolding, this structure, is it think tanks and tax-exempt foundations, it's governments, it's quasi-governments, non-governmental organizations, but they all seem to be working towards the same end, which is to centralize the power at the top. And how do they do that? How do they maintain a structure which I believe is actually outdated, that it's a structure that arose out of real scarcity, out of physical and fiscal insecurity that we don't really have to have? The Earth can sustain 14 billion people just on today's technology, and we only have half that. So we could just have a freer society. This structure is in place, and they need to make sure they keep the masses afraid, limited in numbers, controlled, and without a lot of liberty, because then they could cause problems. And that's when you see stuff like population control, transportation control, surveillance, censorship. All these things, I think, are in place to make sure that triangle stays just as it is. And if you want an insight into it, you can read Report from Iron Mountain. So it doesn't, people will disagree on who's at the top. I don't even know if there needs to be anyone at the top, but the same power mongers who inherit that their strivings from the generation before them. And you don't need to get into that argument if you just make sure you don't give up your rights. So stop talking about, look at the Fifth Amendment, for example. We could all agree on the Fifth Amendment, due process. We could all agree, but we don't. We start getting into these divisive arguments, whether it's about who's at the top, whether it's about gun control, which is very divisive. People always focus on the true wedge issues when there are so many issues that we could agree on. I would recommend investigate whoever you want to figure out who's at the top. But in the here and now, we need to defend our rights, regardless of what they tell us are the policies that need to address these issues that they allow to get 24/7 media coverage. I'm going to take a quick call from Herbie before the break. Herbie, you are on with Monica.
Monica, thank you very much for accepting my call. First of all, let me identify myself. I'm a retired veteran. I'm 82 years old. And I've listened to this thing very carefully for 80 years. And there's been no truth, been lies and deceptions. And I pretty much did not live my usefulness, but whatever time I've got left, I'm going to devote it towards these kids, the adults have had their opportunity. They're proven that they can't do anything properly except criticize one another. I'm not into this liberal and...
So you totally believe Emma Gonzalez. You're totally on her side. You think the adults have screwed it up and the kids who aren't even old enough to vote have the wisdom.
They at least they have for 82 years. So it's time for somebody else to have an opportunity. And I'm going to do everything I can to influence these kids, spend every dime I got and supporting them to get rid of these adults.
I would suggest, Herbie, that the real problem is that I even think democracy could possibly work, except for how totally it was subverted. Totally subverted by lies and deception. And I look at the Woodrow Wilson thing. People say Woodrow Wilson gave women the vote. And I've seen in the manosphere stuff where if it weren't for women having the vote, you know, you can't trust them with the vote. And I noticed that men gave us Woodrow Wilson, but after Wilson gave women the vote, we got Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge, who are probably my two favorite presidents. I'll have to look into that a little bit more. I'm sure there's controversies, but I know Harding was supposed to be real cad. Anyway, but I'm just saying, I don't think the problem is what you're saying is the adults have had it for all this. Let's go to a different demographic. I don't think the demographic or the vote or universal suffrage or limited suffrage or any of that is the problem. It's the subversion. And no matter what government system we have, I believe the malevolent forces, whoever they may be, will change their tactics. You know, democracy happens to be the way that we think that we're empowered. But I think we need to, democracy needs to stop where encroachment on our rights begins. It's a representative democracy. It's not just a referendum-based democracy. I got to take a quick break. 800-WSB-TALK. You can tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Monica Perez.
You maniac! You blew it up!
On News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
There is a good chance of light showers early tomorrow with a high of 58 forecast for Sunday. Weekend weather is brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. And I think I have time for a quick call. I'm going to Ethan in Woodstock. Hi, Ethan. You're on with Monica.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
I was like, good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I would like to talk about the gun control laws in the United States.
Well, you got 1 minute. Go.
All right. So people think that the gun control laws will solve all the problems, but with the good guys, they follow all the rules, but the bad guys don't follow any of the rules. So it's effectively taking away defense and giving the bad guys an upper hand.
Agreed. And here's another thing. Yeah. Here's an idea for you. Is if you told the government people, Chuck Schumer, who wants to limit guns, okay, we'll give up all of our guns, all us law-abiding citizens will give up our guns, and you and your Secret Service and cops and everything, they all have to give up their guns too, they would say no. Why would they say no to that?
Because they wouldn't want to give up their guns, their reason for defense.
Right.
And this is the view from the kid.
Yeah, because... Yeah, because they know they're not getting the guns away from the bad guys who they have guns to protect themselves from, and so do we for now. So are you going to march against? Yes. Are you going to march against these other kids who are who don't see it that way?
No.
It's It's hopeless.
But also with kids in school shootings, it's not only the kids' fault. It's not the gun's fault. It's the fault of two people and maybe a group. It's the child's fault for doing it and the school's fault for not screening it, even though some schools might not screen, and the parent's fault for letting their child take a gun or weapon out of sight of the house.
Yeah, there are, all of these things are human decision making, and ultimately you're right. The weapons are for self-defense. We have that right. At Monica Perez Show, 800 WSB Talk, back in a minute.
Monica Perez.
Well, no one's going to top that.
On News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
I am your libertarian voice, Saturdays from 3 to 6 here on WSB. And we're talking about, I always try to talk about the most important story of the week, and not even the biggest story of the week. Happens to be today is Saturday, and there is the March for Our Lives. And we've been covering, Binkley and I, my producer here who pulls clips and helps me with the show, reads your tweets, but does a lot of work on who's pulling the strings on this stuff. And we've gone a little deeper on this issue than you're probably hearing anywhere else. I don't even think it's really about gun control. I think that this is actually about the bigger plan that Binkley and I identified when Ossoff versus Handel was running, that called Flip the Six. Then we thought, I said, they're trying to flip the South. This is a precursor to Flip the South. And then I noticed they were attacking rural states. And I said, they're going to flip the flyovers. Now I feel like 2018 is about flipping the country. And I think there's even a... So the theme I had pegged for the 2018, what later became the blue wave, but I said it was going to be Democrats versus evil and old versus young. You can go back and listen to my first show of 2018. I said that's how I thought this battle was going to be, the battle lines would be drawn between Democrats and evil, and that's how they're framing this. They're saying Republicans are evil. They kill kids on purpose. Like, that's literally how they're framing it. And I can actually prove it. I'm going to tell Rachel in just a second that I probably am going to want clips at 4 and 12. But let me look at it in just a second. So they're framing it to be this good versus evil. And I think there's another, even a deeper element to it, which is I see the Republicans playing along. When Trump was running, I coined a hashtag lose on purpose. I was convinced that Trump was there polarizing America so Hillary would win, because polarizing gets you maybe 40% solid vote, but they don't give you the majority. So what you need to do is move to the middle. I said earlier how Plato warned that democracy would lead to mediocrity because you'd have to move to the middle in order to get 50% of the vote. And that's how it generally works. So I just did not see that this is what they call a paradigm shift. There was a real change in how the powers that be operate. But I've kind of refined this theory because I still see it moving to the left. I still said in the end, maybe this is another Soros trick that we just don't see. It depends on if Soros and his gang, I'm using him as a kind of metaphor, whatever, like an overarching label. But if his gang, if his side, if his who he represents end up on top at the end anyway, I'm going to wonder if this polarizing strategy was really meant to what galvanize and, you know, aggregate the other side. And I think that's what they're doing. And I see many Republicans playing into this. Now, I think Tom Price, which was responsible for the Ossoff battle, and Jeff Sessions, which lost a seat where he got 97% of the popular vote as a Republican, lost to a Democrat in Alabama. I mean, that was significant. And I don't think he played along. Those guys got picked out of Congress as part of this. But an unprecedented number of Republicans are stepping down before the 2018 midterms. The midterms are when the party in power in the White House is the most vulnerable. I think they almost always lose seats in the midterm. For the Republicans to step down en masse, to me, is a kind of dereliction of duty. It's like, to the extent that the two-party system is bad and I don't like it, the only thing worse than that is a one-party system, because that is really the communist collectivist system. And these guys who are kind of giving over their Republican seats to this blue wave, or making them more vulnerable to the blue wave, to me, I feel like I'm going to take it one step deeper. There was a time, Irving Kristol wrote a book, Neoconservatism and the Autobiography of an Idea, which is on my website. I review it thoroughly, MonicaPerezShow.com. He talks about how the Republicans will never really have power unless they give themselves over to big government. And you got to con the people into buying it. And I think that's just what they did. So everybody in Washington is into power and big government. The Democrats are honest with their voters because their voters are into it too. The Republicans have to lie to their voters because their voters are the last stand against tyranny, totalitarianism, big government, all that. They're the last stand. They're the ones who still defend the Bill of Rights. How are you going to get their grip off the Bill of Rights by subverting their who they think are representing them en masse when they're least expecting it? So that's how I see all this stuff playing out. That's why I think this March for Our Lives, we played some clips earlier demonstrating it's about the vote. And I think that's what's going on, really. I mean, I don't know what to do about it, but I feel like we need to wake up to it. Now, Binkley, I already introduced you. Do you have a tweet that was kind of a little deeper than we'd been talking about? So you can give me a tweet from the kind of previous conversations if you want. What do you got?
I have one from Johnny who's talking about the march, and he says that it's totally scripted and scary. It's reminiscent of the Red Guards in Mao's Cultural Revolution. Also, I wish I had a food truck in D.C. that sells nothing but Tide Pods.
I think that's advocating violence. yeah, Mao's Cultural Revolution. I mean, that. Don't forget, see, this is the thing. Like, you see, I don't know. I mean, people, I noticed some tweets earlier about Civil War and all this kind of stuff, and I've been thinking about it. Like, the divisiveness that's being ginned up by the leaders of these movements, in itself, if we're at each other's throats, they not only get more power, even if we had a civil war, they wouldn't care. Because they want population control. They don't mind if we kill each other. They don't. The more violent it gets, the more big power big government gets. So to me, the more provocative they are, the more obnoxious, the bigger their name calling, the more likely we are to play into their hands by being reactionary. I mean, it's really to the point where truly we have a pathocracy. We have a pathological government. The leadership is aiming for these world government, world corporation aims. And if you look at Stacey Abrams, the nominee who wants to be the nominee for Georgia governor, if you look at her resume, I mean, it's just as long as you're armed, the globalist agenda. I mean, she acts like she's here for the people. I want to talk to Lisa and Ron, and I can. I want to quickly play these two clips just to show you how they're really framing this Democrat versus evil thing. Rachel, can I hear clip 12 first?
Another part of the conservative moral worldview is adults over children. And maybe that explains why Republicans don't really care about a bunch of kids getting killed in mass shootings.
That's crazy because, first of all, it's crazy. But second of all, when I wrote at the beginning of this year that the identity dialectic that I expected would be old versus young, I only thought of that not because I saw any signs, but because it was the dog that wasn't barking. I was like, wow, how could they divide us further? Oh, Obama won just by young people voting, right? Isn't that what they say? If the young person demographic had flipped, he wouldn't even have won. And I thought they're going to play into that. I didn't even realize that clip. I was looking for the Republicans or, you know, child murderers, not old versus young. But that had it all. That's really what's going on here. And let's also hear clip 4.
Once again, the Republican Party, which often seems like a wholly owned subsidiary of the gun manufacturers, is sticking to its guns, literally. Once again, they're shooting down any kind of meaningful action on gun control, and it doesn't seem like there's any amount of carnage or slaughter that's enough for them to actually act. And at this point, it almost seems as if mass killings are not a bug of Republican gun policy, but instead its main feature.
Let me just repeat that. Mass murder isn't a bug of Republican gun policy. It's the main feature. The guy who was saying both of those things guy named Gil Duran, who used to be communications director for Dianne Feinstein. I mean, that's, these guys aren't just speaking extemporaneously. You know, they're all, they're coordinating their talking points. When people are like, you're a conspiracy theorist, who's they? I'm like, these are they. Those guys are telling, those are the thoughts behind the placards that you're seeing. And they're there. They're not really worried about the kids. They're worried about winning the 2018 midterms. That's what this is all about. I got to get to these calls. Hey, Lisa in Snellville, you're on with Monica. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. First of all, I'm 51 years old, and you keep calling...
You don't look it.
Oh, yeah, thanks. You keep calling them kids. Do you call an 18-year-old that's serving our country and defending us kids?
That would be pretty insulting.
Yeah. So why are they kids? They're 17 and 18-year-olds. Okay, and we have let them down. And then number two, I don't know Soros. And I've had different signs in my yard supporting Republicans and Democrats in my lifetime. I know. And no one wants to take all guns away, by the way. I have a gun.
Oh, I think some people do.
Oh, I don't think so.
I mean, in Australia, they...
This is about AR-15s and, you know, semi-automatic, whatever. But you're knocking down these kids. And did you see how many all over the country that marched today?
I saw the reports, but I didn't see a panned video of the reality. I'm curious.
There was over 30,000 in Atlanta. That was just on the radio while I was holding.
I did see that report, but the picture looked
a
little sparse.
A million in Washington, D.C., and there was Boston, and there was California. It was everywhere. There was
I just
Florida.
Don't know if I believe that. I'm just not sure, because the numbers, they could be wrong. But anyway, what's your point? Give me a point. What's your point?
The point is you need to just keep just brushing them off as kids. They have the right to vote when they turn 18. They serve our country.
Oh, I'm not brushing them off as kids. I'm saying they're being manipulated by other people. If they were really like that kid, Ethan, who called earlier, yeah, I think his dad was helping him, but I believe that he is formulating his own ideology and thinking things through, and I'm okay with that, and I'm happy to have a one-on-one debate.
Do you have
children? Yes, I do. And okay, let me give you an example. My 15-year-old has Down syndrome, and he has a one-on-one aide, and he came home and told me he went to one of these marches, and I am certain it was not his idea. And now he's spouting.
Well, God bless you, but I have an autistic son, and he makes up his own mind.
Yes, they have different intellectual.
He is amazing.
Profiles. Yes, and what I'm saying is, though, I'm just saying autistic is different intellectual profile. My son is not, he's just parroting something that he's hearing, and then he's being trotted out, you know, without my consent to promote a position that I think he's being manipulated. And I think a lot of these kids are.
I believe it's sad. I do believe we've let them down with all the craziness in our government. And they're supposed to work for the people. You know, we pay them with our taxes. We pay them.
Yes. And this is what I will say about that. I feel that they have the tools to take care of this stuff. Look up Justin Carter. He made a joking threat online once 5 years ago. He went to jail. He had to be in solitary because he was so young. He was being abused. He was so innocent. And he literally wrote JK and LOL next to what he said. He has been battling this for 5 years. He could face 10 years in jail. I feel like when a guy like Nicholas Cruz has 39 strikes against him, is in school with the kids of the sheriff who has a $2 billion budget, the guy knows. He knows what's going on. You know, it's hard for me to believe that we have all the facts about what really happened, what could have prevented it, what's already in place that failed, how to address the real problem. I feel like we're being... the facts are kind of being airbrushed so that we can promote a policy agenda. I'd like to reel it back a little bit. Let's do more of that after the break. 800-WSB-TALK. This is Monica Perez.
Monica Perez.
Wow, that was intense.
On News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Studio, weekend weather is brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Getting into the debate a little bit. Binkley, you had a response for the previous call, did you not?
Yeah, there's people carrying signs all over.
Lisa called before the break. Sorry.
Yes.
Lisa called before the break, and she said that nobody was talking about banning guns, right?
Right. There's a bunch of people carrying the sign that says, the Second Amendment is killing America. There's some saying the Second Amendment is the problem. There are signs that say, I should be leaving high school in a cap and gown, not a body bag.
That's funny because Stacey Abrams, who I've been talking about a lot because we've been looking into her platform, one of the things she said that I had never heard anyone say before, she said, I should be able to call for a gun ban or a gun control, whatever, without paying homage to the Second Amendment. Mm. I mean, that's like a holy grail kind of thing. So get what else you got? Anything else?
Here's one that says, since 1982, white men have committed more mass shootings than every other race combined.
That
might be true. I don't know.
Sounds right, but I mean, do we really want to talk about murder by race?
Making it by race, yeah.
I mean, I feel like every individual life is worthwhile, regardless of who's on the other end of the
Here's
killing.
One with a baby, a 1.5-year-old that says, Abby is going to vote in 16 and a half years. A 1.5-year-old. The sign is bigger than her.
And you know what? This issue will continue because it's so divisive. I don't actually think it's about this issue. I think it's about the blue wave. I think it's about flipping the 2018 midterms. That's what I think it's about. We have obviously pushed some buttons. My guess is that the march broke, and now I've got a lot of calls from those people. We'll see. But Ron has been holding on. He wants to talk about don't give up your rights. Kata thinks wants to tell me how to interpret the Constitution. I'm very interested in what she has to say. And lots of other calls. Hang on. I can get to everybody probably. 800-WSB-TALK, or you can tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.